Today's daf is Yuma daf Tess is a very, very famous daf because it discusses, I think we mentioned this yesterday already, it discusses unfortunately, the Churban of Mishkan Shile, the Churban of Bayis Rishon, the Churban of Bayis Sheni, the reasonings behind it, and therefore it's obviously a daf that's referenced quite often. So how we get into it is really, we said the 7 days before Yom Kippur, we sequester the Kayan Gadol into the Lishkas Parhedrin. So we want to know what's the name Parhedrin. Parhedrin literally means like appointees, officers. Why did it get the name Lishkas Parhedrin? And from there, once we're going to explain the name, we're going to segue into a discussion of the massive turnover that there were from the position of Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash, in the second Beis Hamikdash, the massive amount of turnover. We've referenced this a couple times in the past few daf. Here the Gemara goes through the numbers more specifically. So let's pick it up from Chesam Abayis, two dots, about 10 lines up at the bottom of the page. That's where the Gemara discusses the conversation of Lishkas Parhedrin. Says the Gemara, Tanya Bida, V'chi Lishkas Parhedrin Ha'isa, was it really called Lishkas Parhedrin? Hali Lishkas Balvati Ha'isa. It was called Lishkas Balvati, the Lishka of the officers. Balvati means like the aristocrats, the Chashav officers. That's a very positive name. And Parhedrin means like more of a standard name, standard officer name. So which one is it? Ela B'chi La'ikar Nes Lishkas Balvati. Initially, when the Karam Gadalim were Chashav, and they were aristocratic, the name was representative of the Kayan Gedalim, and therefore it's called the Lishkas Balvati. But then it became a time period in history, namely in the second Beis Hamikdash, where the Kayanim were buying their way in to become the Kayan Gadol. They were buying their way in. They weren't necessarily fit for the position. They bought their way in. And furthermore, what happened was, every 12 months, there was a changeover, like appointees, like appointed positions that were being changed. The king would appoint people to positions and switch them out, every 12 months. These Kayan Gedalim were buying their way in and being swapped out because they weren't surviving. They were becoming disqualified or dead within 12 months. And therefore, the name changed, like, because of the changeover was like the Kippahedrin. Halolish Machlifin Isim Koshayas Machaydish. The change was like the Parhedrin, which are also the officers that are changed, the appointees that are changed every 12 months. Lafika Chay Karnes and Lishkas Parhedrin. Therefore, the name was switched from Lishkas Balvati to Lishkas Parhedrin. Okay, that's where the name came from. We'll get back to that topic. That's going to be the segue into the Churban Abayis and the changeover of status. Kayam Gedalim changing every year, and the overall reminiscing or describing the difference between the first Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, and so on and so forth. But before we go there, the Gemara is going to go off really to a side din, a totally separate din, Lagabe, to my taking Meiser from the produce of an Amoritz, who suspect not to have taken Meiser. And the reason we're quoting this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Meiser Sheni. The reason why we're quoting this Mishnah, the whole purpose of quoting this Mishnah, Mishnah Demai. The dinim we're going to be focused on different dinim of Shumas Meiser, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, but the Mishnah we're quoting is actually Mishnah Demai in the second parak. And the reason we're quoting this Mishnah Demai ultimately is because the ensuing Gemara is going to refer to the Lushan of appointees as Parhedrin. Since that's the name of the day, the name of the Lishka is Lishka's Parhedrin, so we're just being a riot to, again, the shame Parhedrin, meaning appointees. That's this whole next conversation, but really it's going to be a little bit of a digging into a little bit of Hilchus of Demai. Now, what is Demai? Just basic idea. Demai is, we know, a person when he has produce in the field, he has to take from the field Trumas, Maestris. Maestris includes Maestris Rishon, which goes to the Levi. So Trumas is, there's actually no percent on a Torah level, there's no minimum for Truma. On a Torah level, that'll be very relevant coming up in the Gemara. We'll speak it out from the version. Really, on a Torah level, if one chita achas parteres as a kri, one stalk paters the entire kri when it comes to Truma. However, Chazal or Meshayer, that the standard amount should be based on drushes, based on Chazal, we say 1 in 50 is the average person. Of course, 1 in 50 is 2%, 1 in 60 is a stingy person, and 1 in 40 is a generous person. What he gives, 1 in 40 for Truma is generous, 1 in 50 is standard, and 1 in 60 is stingy. But again, Me'ikra Din, let's remember that, that'll be an important point that'll come up, that any stalk, one stalk patches the entire field. Okay, then we have Meiser. Meiser, of course, like its name suggests, is 10%. Meiser is 10%. 10% goes to whom? To the Levi. It's Meiser Rishon. 10% goes to Machlokes by the Pashas. We go with the Tzad. Then Meiser Rishon goes to Levi. 10% goes to Levi. Then we have Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni goes up to Eretz Yerushalayim, to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Or Meiser Sheni is, of course, years 1 and 2 of the cycle, and years 4 and 5. Years 3 and 6 of the cycle, for Shemitah, there's nothing. Yes, we're in six of the cycle. We do not have Meiser Sheni. We actually substitute Meiser Sheni with Meiser Ani. The second Meiser is Meiser, goes to the Ani in years 3 and year 6. Okay, now, an Amma Aretz was suspect not to take Meiser. Now, important details. Amratzim were not suspect with regards to Truma. We'll see that in two lines. Amratzim were suspect to not take Meiser. However, we've said this many times, Reiv Amaratzim Asrnein. Reiv Amaratzim did take Meiser. It was a miyat, but a significant miyat, significant enough that Chazal decided to make a takana and said, whenever you buy something from an Amarat, you have to go with the approach that he didn't take Meiser, and you have to take, it's called Demai, and you have to take Meiser on it as a precaution. That is the Takanas Chazal, but they have a few leniencies. We've spoken out multiple times, different leniencies. One is for an Ani, a leniency. Another leniency is for the soldiers who are passing through, whom you have to feed. You're allowed to feed them for the Demai. We had this multiple times in the more recent Masechtas, the exceptions when Demai Chazal were lenient on Demai. So this Mishnah, the second Perek in Demai, Perek Bey is Mishnah Dalad, in Demai, discussed another case of leniency, namely that of a baker. A baker's business is baking and dealing with flour and baking bread and the like. So being extra machmer in him cuts into his margins, Mamish's business, not Stam his own personal possessions. It's his whole business, says the Mishnah. Tanasim, Hanachtaim and the bakers. So the only things that the baker has to separate from his demai, he has to separate Trumas Meiser, which we actually neglected to explain that. We'll explain that in a second. And challah. So challah is a simple one. Challah really has nothing to do with demai. The chiv of challah only starts when you have a dough, and therefore whether the amaretz took off Trumas Meiser like he's supposed to or didn't, either way, he didn't take challah yet because it didn't become a dough yet. So the baker is making it into a dough. He's chayim in challah. Really, it's not really part of the chiddush of the Mishnah. Of course, he's chayim in challah. We just pointing out that lemaisa, that chiv still exists. You know what else he's chayim in? The only thing we say he's chayim in is Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser is when the Levi gets 10%, like we spoke about before. That's Meiser Risha, goes to Levi 10%. Of that 10%, the Levi then goes and has to give 10% of that to the Kayin. So really, we think of the Kayin as getting, based on our numbers, 2%, 1 in 50, and the Levi getting 10%. Really what happens is, from the 10% the Levi gets, he gives 10% of what he gets to the Kayin, which is effectively 10% of 10% is another 1%. So the Kayin ends up with 3%, the Shevet Kuna, and the Shevet Levi ends up actually with 9%, not 10. Okay, anyway, so we're saying that this fellow, this baker, you know what he's got to take? Trumas Meiser he has to take. And then Mark explains why. He does not take Truma Gedela when he bought them from the Amaretz. You know why? The Tanya, because it was taught in a Braisa. It was actually Yechon Kain Gadol, who was one who issued the decree, Legabe Demai, and he taught, Lefi Shashalach, Tap of Tesman Alf, Shashalach, Bechol of Gvul Yisrael, Verua Shem Rafishal, Chumma Gedela Bavad. The reason he made the Takan in the first place is because he saw the Amaratzim were only taking Chumma Gedela. So Chumma Gedela they took. They weren't taking Meiser, but Chumma Gedela, the main Chumma to give to the Kainim, that they were taking. So there's no need to take Chumma Gedela. Meiser they weren't taking, and therefore the Takan was take Meiser. And Rabbi was saying by the baker, all he has to take is not Meiser, is Chumma's Meiser. Why? So the Gemara continues. Meiser Rishon, Meiser Ani, Truma Gedela again, the baker doesn't have to take because the Amaretz for sure took Truma. Meiser Risha, Meiser Ani, now why didn't he have to take that? The answer is Enechnami does. He has to separate Meiser Rishon. He has to separate Meiser Ani because Amaratzim are suspect not to separate it. But he doesn't have to give it. We have to remember within every din of Trumas and Meisers, there's really two dinim. There's the din of being mafresh the Meiser because there's an Isser of Tevel. There's Isser to eat something which didn't have Trumas and Meisers separated. And then there's the Chiv to actually to give over the Nesina, to give the Trumas / Maestras to the Kayan / Levi, or Ani. Now, by Truma, we're saying, anyway, the Amar Arts is assumed to have taken it. Maeser Risha, Maeser Ani, Alpi Rav, the Amar Arts took that also. Alpi Rav, he took it. But there's a strong enough miyat that he didn't, that we obligate the person to separate it. But once he separates, he doesn't have to actually give it to the Levi or give it to the Ani. Why? Because he says, it's a Mamnistik Shail now. Mitzad Isser, I already took Mitzad Isser Vetter. I already separated my Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani. The Shaila is now the Shevet of Aniyim, or Shevet Levi should be able to claim it for me. Prove it. Prove that this Amaretz that I bought it from did not separate Meiser, and then I'll give it to you. Till you can prove it. So he separates it, but he doesn't have to actually give it. He's able to keep it for himself. So that explains, we're not worried about Truma. We're not worried about the baker having to give away his Meiser Rishon or Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, I should say, because that he can keep. But what does he have to give? Now, Trumas Meiser, he does have to give. Why? Because Trumas Meiser is the Truma of the Meiser. That's not something that he can eat. He can't eat it. And therefore, if he can't keep it, he can't eat for himself, therefore he has to give it. Frekt Taisus over here, Frekt Rashi and Saita do the same thing. Let him separate Trumas Meiser. Let him separate from the Meiser Rishon. The same way he separated the Meiser Rishon, but not giving it to the Levi. He's keeping it for himself. Let him do the same thing with the Truma. Separate the Trumas Meiser. And let him sell it to the Kayin. Let him sell it. Don't eat it, but sell it. So I'm not giving it to you free. Let him sell it. So Rashi in Saita says very simple, that till he finds a kain to sell it to, he's going to have this Trumas Meiser hanging around. Trumas Meiser is very chamer. Trumas Meiser, Truma in general, is chamer. Zerdei is Trumas Chayav Misa, and that's actually, we'll get back in a minute, that's one of the Peshatim and the Rishayim, why the Amaratzim was so in particular in taking Truma, because Truma, they knew if a Zer eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa, so they didn't even want to have Tevel of Truma, that's why they took Truma. So since Trumas chamer, Rashi Saita says, we don't have Trumas Meiser around, so even though, yes, technically speaking, you can separate Trumas Meiser and then just sell it, that is an option, technically speaking, we don't want to rely on that because he may come to eat it, and therefore we have him just give the Trumas Meiser to a kohen. That's Rashi Zayda. Taisa over here makes a mathematical cheshbon, and we really touched on the cheshbon before. Taisa says, do the math. Meiser is only 10%. Trumas Meiser is 10% of 10%, which means it's 1%. It's only 1%. Once this guy separates this 1%, so first of all, we're talking already about, again, 1% is still worth money, but it's much less than 10%. But more than that, once he separates this Trumas Meiser, that means this whole market has shrunk from the market in general to only Kahanim. Once it's Trumas Meiser, the only one that can eat it is Kahanim. If only Kahanim can eat it, you know what happens when your market shrinks from 100% of the population down to 10% of the population, you're all of a sudden your pricing shrinks the same way. You have very little demand for it. And therefore, so do the math. It's 1% of the produce, and you're selling it to a very restricted market. And therefore, says the value is so little, it didn't make sense to make a thing that let him separate and then sell it to the guy. And just give it, it's worth so little, it doesn't make a difference. Let him just give it, even though we're trying to protect the Nachtam, like we'll see in the next lines, that is too little value to go to the cheshbon. That's Taisus again. Rashi explains you don't want to have him sell Trumas Meiser. He may come to eat if it sticks around too long, and that's a serious crime, serious avera. Whereas Taisus says the reason is because worth so little money, it wasn't worth holding out and selling it. Okay, so we've explained why Truma Gedela we're not worried about because the Amar separates Truma Gedela. Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani separate it and then just keep it for yourself. Trumas Meiser, you have to give. So the Mara is bothered by one point. Ela Meiser Sheni, and this is why we're bringing the whole point down. Ela Meiser Sheni, Nifreshu V'nisku, let him separate it and let him go up V'nechlu B'Yishlayim. Let him separate it, go up in Yishlayim. He gets to keep it. Meiser Sheni, I separate it, I keep it, I have to eat it when I go up to the other regal. When I go up to Yishlayim, that's when I eat it. So let him do that. He's not losing the money. Let him keep it and eat in Yishlayim. Why did we release him from the obligation of Meiser Sheni? Amar Ula, here's the key word that we needed. Metech Shepar Hedrin Alolu. Because of these appointees, these officers that were on a 12-month cycle, every time they got a new set of appointees, they each had to flex their muscles. And what would they do? Every 12 months, they would beat up the bakers and force them to do what? Force them to sell the produce cheap, sell their wares cheaply. Not clear why. Somehow that would benefit them. Maybe the more sales, the higher amount of taxes. Somehow that benefited these appointees. It's not even so clear in their Shainim why they would do that, why they're incentivized to do that. But they were. They were incentivized to push the bakers to sell things cheap, so their margins, their profits were already tight, and therefore, Lechuk HaBadon, even, you're right, they get to keep this produce in Meiser Sheni. They just have to take up to Yishlayim and they get it there. That schlep to bring it up to Yishlayim, that cost of the time and the expense of traveling up to Yishlayim, that itself is enough, was too much, and therefore, the Chazal were makel not to force them to go up. But you see, clearly it's referring to these officers as Parhedron. My Parhedron, Percy, what does Parhedron mean? Parhedron means Percy, which they teach as like superintendents, as people that are in charge. Okay, so before we get to the Gemara, just a couple more points back on this prior Gemara. Again, it's a little bit of a detour from our sugya, just to bring out the word that Parhedron means appointees. We got a little tangled up in the sugya of Demai, and when one of the leniencies, namely Anachtam, a baker, one of the leniencies that were not so particular, only Machbara Trumas Meiser. Now, first of all, Gurus Ari is a Baam Kasha. Gurus Ari just has a very geschmack, a technical question. Trumas Meiser is Truma that's taken off the Meiser. Who does Meiser belong to? It belongs to the Levi. Only the Levi should be able to take Trumas Meiser. Over here, what are we saying? The guy separates Meiser on the tzad that he's Chayiv Meiser. But because he may not be Chayiv Meiser, more likely than not, he's not Chayiv, he gets to keep it for himself because he says a Meiser Mechav Avraya. That's great, but on the tzad he's keeping it for himself, how could he take the Trumas Meiser? Only Levi can take Trumas Meiser. He can't take Trumas Meiser on behalf of the Levi, so you're running into a circle. So Gevurah Sari says, Rav Shach Zayeh, he says, very interesting, he says it's step one, step two. First, you separate the Meiser. Now, is there a chiv to give the Meiser? No. Well, yeah, chiv to separate the Meiser because of the suffix. But to give it, no, because the Meiser Mechav Araya. Once there's no chiv to give the Meiser, then he taka becomes the Baal Bas in the Meiser, even though it's only Mitzad doubt. Once it's a Meiser Mechav Araya, it gives him enough power that he's the Baal Bas in the Meiser, and he indeed could take Trumas Meiser as Zezak the Gvur Sari. Okay. But what's the Peshat B'chlal? I really probably should have explained this earlier in this cheshbon, but a basic idea, what's the pshat that the Amoratzim were so makpid on Truma, and they were makpid on Meiser? What's the difference? Why the makpid Truma, not Meiser? So we already really referenced the answer from the Rush, not to be confused with the Rush is a different pshat, but we actually referenced both answers already. But the Rush in Chala and Demai, and the Rush is a pirush in the Mishnayos in Chala and Demai. They each give a different explanation. First of all, with the Rash. The Rash explains that since Talach is a non-Kayan, a Zar, who eats Chuma is Chayiv Misa, Amratzim know this, that a Zar who eats Chuma is Chayiv Misa, therefore, produce that hasn't had Chuma taken out, they're also scared of, because since once you separate Chuma, you Chayiv Misa with the Chuma, the Tevel of Chuma to them is very Chamor. Whereas Meiser, Adrab, we just said in our Gemara that Meiser could be eaten by anybody. That's why he keeps it for himself. And says Meiser Mechaver of Raya, no problem, because he could really eat it himself. Meiser could be eaten by a non-Kayan, non-Levi. It's given to the Levi or the Kayan, but it could be eaten by a non-Levi, non-Kayan, and therefore Meiser is not so chamer to him. So Tevel of Chuma, which is chamer to him, and he separates the Chuma. Tevel of Meiser is not so chamer, and therefore he's suspect not to take off the, not take off the Meiser. That is the Rashi's pshat. Aye, the kash is that's the case. Chumas meiser is in meiser. Meiser contains chumas meiser, and that should be chomer even to that maritz. So they give different answers. The Rashi himself wants to say that until it's tevel, they weren't concerned about it. Only when it was tevel, if I didn't take meiser, I don't know if the Amratzim felt there's no din of tevel of chumas meiser. When I have my original tevel, it's tevel for chuma and tevel for meiser. The chumas meiser only gets a status of being tevel for chumas meiser once the meiser was separated. That's the Amratzim's approach. It could be it's of course an Amratzim stick away to approach it, but that's how they looked at it. Hence the title, they were Amratzim, and therefore they looked at the way, and therefore they weren't so concerned about the chumas meiser. That is the Rashi's explanation. The Mefarshin and Durim just says the reason why they're worried about chumas meiser is because it's based on a drasha, and they don't know drashas; they only know black and white psukim, and therefore they're not so concerned again about chumas meiser. But again, the overall the Rashi's pshat is that they're makbid on truma, which is very chumer to a zar, and not makbid on meiser, which is not so chumer to a zar. The Rashi's hold of malach. The Rashi is based on what we said right in the beginning that when it comes to the ikur din of Torah, Truma, I could satisfy my obligation with one stalk, patathol kri. So how much, what does it cost me ready to be yay to the din, daraisa? Even the Amaratzim know this. And therefore we're not gonna take truma. Not off the chumra of how chumra truma is. There's no reason not to, it's so cheap. Meiser is 10%. 10% is a hefty bill. So Meiser, they were more lax on, whereas truma, they're more particular on. Very, very, very simple, very straightforward. Okay. Says, let's go further. Let's leave it here for now. Let's go further. Says more right there. Amar Rabbi Barchan Amar Beichanan. My dechsev. Now we get to the back to the Bate Mikdashim and the different. We compare the amount of Kain Gedolim were in the first bias as compared to the second bias. My dechsev. Yiras Hashem Taisav Yamim Ushes Hashem Tiktzarina. Yiras Hashem adds years, whereas the years of Rishonim will be shortened. What's that referring to? Yiras Hashem Taisav Yamim Zem Mikdash Rishon. It refers to Mikdash Rishon. Shaman Abba Meis Veshoshanim, where the first base of Mikdash was around for 410 years. The Shem Shabbat Elish Ben Esther Kainim Gedolim, and in that time period there were only 18 Kainim Gedolim that served in 410 years. And opposite, before we get to the opposite, it's actually Shalom the Girsis. Our Girsis says that there were 18 Kainim Gedolim. That's the Girsis we have. Goyin right away switches and says, if you look at the side of the page, the Goyin by Aleph says, "Vayishem Shalosh Shteyamaser." Kach Zachlam. He says it was 12 Kainim Gedolim. Tais Vis, if you jump to Tais, Tais brings two other Girsis. Tais brings the Girsis of 8 Kainim Gedolim, and Tais brings the Girsis that it was 9 Kainim Gedolim. Right? From the Riva, and he brings different Girsis of how many Kainim Gedolim were either 8 or 9. We have 8, 9, 12, or 18. Now, mathematically, whichever way you go, let's just pick a middle number. Let's pick 12 just because it's simple for math. 4 is really more than 400 years. 400 years, 12 Kainim Gedolim really gives you an average of every Kain Gadol, 3 per 100 years, 33 years average, even more per Kain Gadol, which is amazing. That means we're assuming they did not become Kain Gadolim when they're 22 years old. They don't serve till they're 30, if I remember correctly. And he didn't become a Kain Gadol the first day that he served as Kain Gadol. So presumably, he became Kain Gadol in his 40s, right? I don't think Kain Gadol has a limit of 50. I don't believe so. It wouldn't make sense. So the Kain Gadol, these Kain Gadolim, they lived to obviously to ripe old age because they were in their position for many years, 30 to 40, 50 years, they're in the position. So that's what it means in the first place of Mikdash. It says that the Yiras Hashem will be Maisef Shanim because they was Zecha to Arichas Yamim. These were the good, we'll call them, the good Kain Gadolim. And before we get to the flip side, the Shais Rishayim, in the second place of Mikdash, where they're very short-lived, these Kain Gadolim, before we get there, there's actually a black and white pasuk in Divrei Yamim where the pasuk describes the chain of lineage from Aaron HaKohen straight down to the Kainim Gedolim all the way to to the times of straight down through the times of the base of Migdash, and the psukim they describe that there's Nazariah. I think there's Nazariah the second. There's two Nazarias, but the second Nazariah, he was the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol of Shlomo Melech's time. Remember, Shlomo Melech was the completion of the base of Migdash, first base of Migdash. So he was the Kohen Gadol at the beginning of Shlomo Melech's time, and it goes to list the other subsequent Kohen Gadolim in the time of the first base of Migdash until he got to the last one. I think it was Yitzhak. So he got the last one, and if you count the number of names, it's a total of 9. So where's there room for machlekes between the Gayan and the two Gersas and Taisus, 8 or 9, and the Gersas and Gemara of 18? Very clear. It says the count the number there in Divrei Yamim, and it's 9. There's 9 Kohen Gadolim. What's going on over here? So right away, so the Taisus suggests a couple of answers. First of all, if a number of Gemara is 18 and the number we have is 9, so that's not fair, because 9 with the skan is 18. 18 meant the 9 Kohen Gadolim with their 9. Skan kohens with the 9, so to speak, vice kohen gadols. So that's how you get to 18. That's one mahalach. Even before that, I should have said 8 and 9 is also not a problem. Why? Because there were 9 in total, but the 9th one went into galus. So it could be the one who says 8 was talking about kohen gadol that completed their reign, whereas the 9th went into galus, and the one that says 9 says no. Even the one that had a partial reign in the first bias is considered counted as well. And then if you had that 9 verse 8, so 9 and 8, we've already explained the way. That's not shver. Those both can fill the pasuk beautifully. 12 and 18 is more of a problem. So one answer again is that we're counting also these skans that help get it up to 18. Not 12 is still shver. Another answer is that we're counting for Pinchas. I'm not sure why not counting Aaron HaKohen, the first Kohen Gadol, and the Lazar, but we start from Pinchas. From Pinchas, we're adding to the original, to those 9, 3 more. You get to, not 3 more. You're adding 9 more. So you get to 18. That's another way to get to 18. Or according to the Gayan, who says 12, you don't start from Pinchas, you start from Tzadok HaKohen. Tzadok HaKohen is 3 before Azariah. So you get from 9 to 12. That's how we get to the various numbers. But the point is, it's not Stam. And if you read the Pusik in Divrei Yamim, it seems pretty clear. There were 9 that were around during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There were 9. And the numbers 12, 18 are adding either skans or adding earlier Kohen Gadolim that predated, that were there before the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the point is, clearly the very long years. If now go from 12 to 9, if it was 9 throughout the 400 years, you're talking each one had a reign of close to 50 years on average, roughly 50 years on average. That's a very long reign as Kohen Gadol. That was in the first Beis HaMikdash. Now let's see this flip side. Ushnais Rishayim Tekzarina, but the years of Rishayim Nebuch get cut down. What's that referring to? Zem Mikdashani, as referring to the second base Mikdash, Shaman Abraham Esmer Shanim. Second base Mikdash was 10 years longer. Second base Mikdash lasted 420 years. However, Vishim Shabbat Yasim Mishash Meskhanim, there were more than 300 Kohen Gadolim that served in the second term, but it gets much more wild. Same Mayhem exclude from those over 300 Kohen Gadolim, don't count, and 420 years, take out Arbam Shana Shimon Shimon Tzadik. So my mistake, I've been saying for the reference a couple times in Pesach already, that Shimon HaTzadik was 80 years. I'm confused with Yechon Kohen Gadol. Shimon HaTzadik was Shemesh 40 years. Still a very long time. Shimon HaTzadik was Shemesh 40 years in the second base of Mikdash. Ushmein of Shemesh Yechon Kohen Gadol. And Yechon Kohen Gadol was Shemesh also for, he was Shemesh 80 years. So that's already two Kohen Gadolim out of the 420, dropped it from 420 to 300. Two of them took the number from 420 down to 300, but it gets lower. Es Hashimah Shishmol Ben Pavi, 10 more take off. The Shishmol Ben Pavi was Kohen Gadol, and he had down to 390. V'ayim l'achas esrei Shishimish for Belos Becharsim, and some say take off 11. That Belos Becharsim was Kohen Gadol. You're down to 379. So you're down to 279. Right? We took off. We have 420. We took off 120-40 for Shimon HaTzadik. That's down to 380. Another 80, for Yechon Kohen Gadol, down to 300. Another 20, either another 10 or 22, 21, you're down to either 290 or 279. You have 279 years and over 300 other Kohen Gadolim in that amount of time, says the Gemara. The average Kohen Gadol didn't last even a year. That's the Sheis Hashoyim gets cut down. Tiktsarina, that means the Sheis Hashoyim, that's what it means, that they got cut down. Okay. Amar, the first discussed, by the way, if anyone's wondering, Reichen Kohen Gadol, of course, we know the second base Midrash was times of the Chashmonaim. What happened to Matzis Yo Kohen Gadol? So someone is saying, maybe his reign was talking very short, not clear why he wasn't counted. Because once his reign is, you know, even if it's decently long, add to the list to make it further emphasize the point of how short lived the other Kohen Gadol were. So this discussion, why Matzis Yo Kohen Gadol wasn't mentioned, perhaps his reign also, unfortunately, was quite short. Amar Rabbeichem Entersai. Rabbeichem Entersai says, the name Rabbeichem Entersai is an amazing name. Bentersai means like the son of the shar, the son of the ox. How do you get this name? So if you look in the Taisus Shanim, he references Taisus Shanim at the bottom of the page, just last line, Taisus Shanim at the page, Besikter Abasi, Befarshin is Geyer, he was a Ger. Rabbi Yechanan ben Tersai was a ger. He brings another ger that maybe his name was not Rabbi Yechanan. His name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Tersai. But the point, bottom line is, he was a ger because of the cow. What's going on over this? If you look in the Masifta, actually brings a little story. The Masifta brings that he bought a cow from a Yid. And the cow was excellent cow, worked 6 days a week beautifully. Shabbos Kaidish, the cow rested. The cow didn't want to do any work. He came back to the Yid with the cow and said, "You sold me a defective cow. He worked 6 days a week, doesn't work the 7 days a week. I want a refund." So the Yid whispered to the cow's ear. I'm maybe missing drop of the story, but long story short, the Yid whispered the cow's ear, "When you worked for me, you worked for a Yid, you took off Shabbos. Now that you work for a guy, he's not like keep Shabbos, you can work on Shabbos." And the cow agreed and started to work on Shabbos. He was so mesmerized by the fact that a cow could be makir, the concept of 6 days a week we work and 7 days we rest, 7 days of Shabbos, that he said, "How could a cow be makir bayre? And I'm a bus of a dumb, cow's also a bus of a dumb. I'm a human being and I'm not makir bayre," and therefore he was megayir, and stam is megayir. He was quoted in the Gemara now. Amar b'yechamad tesai, b'bnei machar v'shile. What was Shila destroyed? Shila is, of course, Mishkan Shila. Mishkan Shila, so before Bayis Rishon, and certainly obviously before Bayis Sheni, there was a huge period of time where Klal Yisrael had the Mishkan, and particularly had the Mishkan for hundreds and hundreds of years, but specifically in Shila. Shila was the longest place. They had the Mishkan 54 years, and if you give them, they had it 14 years right when they're traveling, but they had for 300 and some odd, maybe 70, 380 years, I forget the exact amount, so more than 350 for sure, was in Shila, which is important. It was in Yosef's Chelek, Mishkan in Shila. Now, why was it destroyed? We're going to get to why Mishkan Shila was destroyed, then why Bayis Rishon was destroyed, and then Bayis Sheni is going to take us through the whole daf. It's a long Amud Beis, but it reads rather quickly. There were these two negatives there. Gila Reis was Bezayin Kachim. They engaged in Gila Reis, and they engaged in the Bezayin of Kachim. Where do we see this? Gila Reis, Tichsev, Ve'eli, Zakim, Oid, V'shamas, Kol HaShayasin, Banav, L'chol Yisrael, V'esha Shayushkevon, Esanah Shematzeivais, Pesach Oyal Mayed. That Eli saw his sons, Pinchas and Chafni, they heard about the terrible things they were doing. They were lying with, they were doing Arayas with the women that came to Oyal Mayed to bring Karbanas. They were doing Arayas with them. Now, that's Mamash, classic Arayas. But the Mara says, we know it's not true. V'af Agav, they're making a mistake. Even though the pasuk seems to clearly describe that they did a chait of mamish married women who were bringing different karbanas, right, for their zivim, zavais, nidas, yaladas, and they were having relations with them. That's the pasuk description. It's a tais. That's not what the pasuk means. It's saying it for effect. It's saying it for shock value. But it's not really what it means. You know what it means? The tayich she top of mabeis she show us kineim mia malalem akasav kilu shachvam, because they delayed in the bringing of the kan. Remember, we spoke out in the prior mesechtas in Shkolim. We spoke out that he put money in the pushka, and you could assume, you could be sure that all the money in the pushka is used up by the end of the day, and therefore the women could go home, and it could be men too, but typically it's women by the zavin and zaves by the kinim. They could go home and assume that their birds were brought and they could catch him, because you could assume it's fully finished. In the times of Bnei Eli, of Chafti and Binchas, they were a little bit lax with that, which caused the women to go back, be delayed a day to go back to do peruvu, to go back to their spouse, to go back to husbands, and therefore, because they caused that delay, it was malalam, as if they slept with these nashim. Very similar idea, by the way. You find them when Reuven moved the bed of his father into his mother's tent, instead of Rachel Shifcha, he moved into the mother's tent. The Lashon Pasuk is that Reuven slept with his father's mother. Again, it's more for emphasis point, not for the real touch. By the way, this Lashon of Kol Emer. Whoever said that they're making a mistake, it's very clear in the Pesukim two things. The Pesukim very clear that the chait sound seems very extreme as arayas, and we're saying that's not what it means. But what is it? They did do a chait. In their days, they were delaying in the bringing of the kinim, which caused delays of people being able to go back to the house, patara, going back home. And therefore, it's considered as if it was, what's lashon? Whoever said did a chait is making a mistake. They did a chait, just not the chait the pasuk describes. And a chami, that's the taich. It's a key aside. The taich of the words, whoever says that they did a chait, ein elataya, the taich of those words mean, whoever said they did the chait that you're thinking of. But avadi, there was a chait there. And this is a classic answer to the famous diak on David HaMelech. David HaMelech, the psukim describe, clearly a chait. Sounds like he just chapped a taiva for an ashes ish, saw her on the roof, and he sent her husband to battle, and he wanted to have relations. He did all the relations with this woman, with Bathsheba. Right? Sounds like a terrible chait. The Gemara just says, "Kol Emer David Chata, Ein Halatay." It's a mistake. It's not a chait. But people are very hard to reconcile it. The Pesukim seems described as a chait, and he was punished for it. Yet there was retribution for it. Yet you're saying it's not a chait. The answer is, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that David sinned twice, and he was ultimately forgiven. Shalmel sinned once, and he wasn't forgiven. Because, and what's the difference? Because Shalmech wasn't Maida in time. And Andy was Maida, but he wasn't Maida in time for his chait. Whereas David Melch is Maida al Chatasai, since he's Maida and he did tshuva for his chait, therefore he was forgiven. So it's very clear that it was a chait. He did two chatam and he did tshuva. The answer of whoever says David did a chait is making a mistake means, if I read the psukim and take them at face value, and I believe that David's chait was the same chait that Chalila, if I was to see, succumb to a terrible taiva, right? So Chalila. So, if I'm going to equate that with what happened to David Melch, I'm making a terrible mistake. David's chait, whatever the chait was, it wasn't what the pasuk is describing, and that's what's saying here by Eli as well. It's a big insight in how to approach those psukim. Okay, anyway, getting back to our sugya, so we're saying that Gila Raya's zikr existed because we see the pasuk described that Bnei Eli did Gila Raya's, they didn't manage to it, but they delayed the husband, the wives to come back to the husband. Okay. And before we get to Bzayin Kachim, so the Acharim talk about this. So let's slow down for a second. We're saying that Bnei Eli, in the times of Bnei Eli by the Mishkan, they're engaged in Gilei Raya. And our Raya is from the Lashna Pasuk. But we really just deflected the Pasuk, because it doesn't mean Gilei Raya. It means they just delayed the wives are coming home. So Merim is bothered by two kashas, really. Kasha number one is, why would the punishment be so stark? We understand. If it's Gilei Raya, it's not much Gilei Raya. You're punishing Gantz Klal Yisrael because Bnei Eli were delaying in the Karbanis, you punish whole Klal Yisrael. Number one, destroy Mishkan Shilei. And number two, why did the Pasuk Taka pick such a crass, such a very descriptive, it's great shock value, that they were Yishkav and Asan Hashem. They didn't mamish me. They slept with the Nashem, man, they delayed them from going home. But why pick such a Lashon to connote as if they're being Ivy Gilei Raya, if that wasn't the case? So two kashas, again, why pick a Lashon which is giving off a false impression, so to speak? What's the point of the shock value? Why is it so important? And number two, why is God's Klal Yisrael punished for that various of an Eli? Answer Rambam Sada, both kashas with one idea. That the reason why the Pasuk described this way is because the Klal Yisrael at large had people, I don't want to say Rav Klal Yisrael, but there unfortunately were people who were being busy with Gilei Raya, the attack of being Iver in that time. We know Klal Pais Mum Paisel, if I have a certain psal, I see that same psal in others. Since people were at that time were engaged in Gilei Raya, they would look up an alien, they would accuse them of Gilei Raya. Attack never happened, but they'd accuse them. And that's why the Pasuk specifically chose to describe as Gilei Raya, because it was indicative of an Avera that was going around those days. And Klal Yisrael wasn't being punished just because of Bnei Eli. It was a real problem within Klal Yisrael. It was described by Bnei Eli, but it was a real issue happening within Klal Yisrael. So that answers the questions. They're not being punished for Bnei Eli, they're being punished for the own virus, and that's why the Pasuk used that description, because that is how the people viewed it. Since those people were steeped in Arias, they talk of viewed the tardiness of Bnei Eli more as almost an Arias issue, even though that wasn't really the issue. Okay, so that's Arias. What about Bzayin Kachim? How do Bzayin Kachim existed by the Mishkan? Says Gemara, Bzayin Kachim Dechsiv, because Pasuk says, Gam Beterem Yikturun, as a the Kayan wants to eat the basar for carbon is going to say, while the emurim weren't yet being finished makta on the zvech, give me a piece of meat, give it to me before it's cooked, I want it raw. They were ravenous for the meat, and they treated it with the bazayan. And the person is going to say to the Kayan who wants the meat, slow down. Let us first do the aktara, and then you'll eat the meat. That's the Seder Dvarim. First you aktaras emurim, aktaras chalavim, and then you eat the meat. V'amar, and he's going to say back, loy mitan aleph, loy, ki ata no, ki ata titanim, now, ata with the ayin, I want it now, titanim, loy, kachtim chazaka, give it to me now, or if not, I'll take it. I'm just going to take it with chazaka. They wanted to eat it prematurely. V'si chatas an arm, g'deilim aid, that chait of the arm was great, as p'nei Hashem, ki natu anashem, as b'chaz Hashem, they disgraced the mincha of Hashem. By eating the stuff prematurely, they disgraced the mincha of Hashem. Brisker has a beautiful idea. Halach is, once you do zrika of the carbon, the meat is mutter. Once you finish being makter, the portion is supposed to be makter, you do the zrika, it's supposed to be zrika, the meat is mutter. But there's a din that even though the meat's mutter, the mitzvah of achilos kachim is after the aktara simurim, after the aktara. The mitzvah is after the aktara. So by eating it early, they're not being given isser of eating it too early, but they're just getting rid of their losing out by not waiting a few moments. They're not waiting for the mitzvah, they lose at the mitzvah. That's a bazillion of kachim to be so dismissive of the potential mitzvah of eating a bezmana. That was the disgrace of Kachim. And because of that, that led to the destruction of Mishkan Shilei, again, the Arayas, and the Bezayin Kachim. Now, Bias Rishon. Mikdash Rishon, Menem Acharev, why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? Leilenu, Rimnei, Shleish Devaram, Shay Babai, Dezara, Gilei Raya, Shvichazamim, because the big three, they had Avai Dezara there, back then, Gilei Raya, Shvichazamim, the Marvin's Psukkah to back it up, Avai Dezara, Dechsev, Kikata Matzah, Mishterem, Masecha, Tzara, Mizganais, couch is too short for stretching out, the cover's too narrow to curl up, the Mar explains both these things, my Kata Matzah, Mishterea, what does it mean the couch is too short from stretching out? Amar Bienison, Kata Matzah, Mishterea, Alav, Shnei Reim Kachad. This couch is too small small to house two reim, two companions, so to speak. Meaning the Beis Hamikdash can't contain the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah here, there's an outsider here. It's not enough room, there's no room for both of them over here, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the Beis Hamikdash. The cover is too narrow for curling up. What does that mean? When he reached this pasuk, he would cry. Says about him, he gathers, makes a mound out of the waters. Kadosh Baruch Hu is all powerful, and yet an idol, a masecha became his tzara, became his competition, so to speak, his competition. Because Klal Yisrael, Nevach, we're looking at the Avodah Zarah. So that's right. Avodah Zarah existed in the times of the first place of Mikdash. They were high, they walked with their the throats stretched up. Again, all these things we're going to see the Gemara explain were there to attract the men to engage with them in Arias, Mishakras and I am, and they gaze with the eyes. Halich the Teilachlam Raglam Techasena. Gemara explain what all this means. Yanki Gavu Gemresian means they were haughty. It literally means they were balgaivas, but we teach it a little differently. Shabachas Arucha B'Taksara. They purposely actually set up that the tall woman would walk next to a short woman, which makes the tall woman look even taller. And apparently makes her look like even taller, makes her stand out even worse. So she would utilize the shorter woman to get the attention of the man. Further, V'Tenachlam and Tizgaran, outstretched necks. That's simple. Shabachas becomes Gufa. They went with their posture all the way up, very, 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 again, very noticeably erect. The women were walking, Meshakras and I am, and gazing with their eyes. Davimayim, Mekuchim, and I am, they filled their eyes with makeup. Halach, Fatayf, Fatayachna, they were floating as they walked. How are they floating as they walked? It wasn't really floating. They give the appearance of floating. Shema Alachos, Ekab, Sad, Gudel. They would have their heel come right at the front of the big toe. So basically, they were just taking, like, they were just literally, like when you, if you want, when we try to measure a room, you put one foot right in front of the other, if you're trying to measure with your feet. So that's the way they walked, and that would give the appearance, some sort of appearance of floating. Uvraglam, Tachsena, and what does it mean? With their feet were venom. On Rabbi Yitzchak, what this means is shemavias mar v'afrasman. They put balsam and mar, mirrors, again different types of perfumes and spices. Mnichs malayim, put it into their shoes. Ukshemagias etz b'chayisol. When they got close to b'chayisol, b'yitayis, they would kick on the floor and would give off that aroma. Umatiz malayim would spray the perfume on these b'chrim. Umachisim b'yitzara karis because, and it would be like the yitzara shooting into these b'chrim like a snake. Who's shooting out, angry snake shooting out venom. That's the Arayas, Gila Arayas that's taking place in the first base of English. And lastly, Shvichas Damim, Tichsev, Vigam, there's a black white puzzle, very simple. Gam Damnaki Shevach Menashe, Harbi Amayit, a lot of innocent blood was spilled. Menashe, Ad Shem Mile, Shem Pelapel. From end to end, Yisham is filled of blood, spilled blood of innocent people. Clearly, a lot of Shvichas Damim happening. So we have Shvichas Damim, Gila Arayas, and Avodah Zarah is what caused the churban of the first base. The obvious question is, famous, first you've asked a question already, you're telling me that was the first bias is destroyed because of that. We know that the first bias was destroyed. The Gemara tells elsewhere it was destroyed. Al Shili Berchu Bateret Chila. It's a Gemara in the Darim, and the Gemara in the Darim says the reason why the bias was destroyed was because the Berchu Bateret Chila, they didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. Sounds like they actually learned Torah, but they didn't make a bracha. They never had chashivas to make a bracha before they learned Torah. That's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Nothing to do with these Gimel Chamuris as they affect the Rishonim. It's a Gemara in the Darim on Daf Pei Aleph. So what's going on over here? So the Achrayim want to answer. I'm called as a shtickle over here. They bring in the notes. But the Achrayim want to answer. The answer is the same general approach, and it splits off. The Achrayim say the Enachrami. Had they benched properly before they learned Torah, they wouldn't have ended up having the Churban Bayis. Why? Because it's why. Either because that they had the proper chashivas of Torah. It's one thing to learn Torah as an intellect, but to bench properly before you learn Torah demonstrates a chashivas for the kedusha of Torah. Had they had the proper chashivas of Torah, they never would have fallen to a madrega of Gila Arayas, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Shlei Berchu B'Taret Chila was step one in that process. Not benching B'Taret Chila allowed them to fall to that low madrega of being over the Gemel Chamuris. That is one malach, or another malach is, along the same lines, but again, a very, very different end to the side, that had they, were they, if they were Berchu B'Taret Chila, the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. You know why? Not that it would have prevented them from Gila Arayas, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But the point is that benching Torah properly, that's such a merit, learning and appreciating the godliness of Torah, that itself is a merit that could protect even when you have a strong enough kibbutz of Klai Yisrael doing these Torah B'Aveiros. If you have Berchu B'Taret Chila, if the Klai Yisrael overall makes a bracha for the Torah and they appreciate the chashivas of Torah, that itself is a tremendous protection, and they basically still would not have been destroyed. Okay, second bias. Says the Gemara, Mikdash, Shani, what about the, Avo. Aval, Mikdashani, Shaisku Batera mitzvah Mizrad Me Macharev. So but Mikdashani, which they were being Isakatera, they were doing mitzvahs, they were doing Mitzvah. Sounds like they weren't necessarily doing these big three of Shvichzam Gil Rayas and of Adizar, which the first one discussed. They were doing some of it, clearly dictated in history. They were doing some of it, okay. But what was the reason for the structure of the second base of Mikdash? Mimai says Madesha is by Sinas Chinam, famous because it was Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam literally means baseless hatred. The first one discussed that they qualify, first of all, if hating someone because he's not acting properly, because he's not acting the way he's supposed to act, adraba, that wouldn't be such a concern. It means hating someone basically, what does it mean baseless hatred? So ultimately, the first one explained that it's a, by the way, sinna could be a strong term. Sinna doesn't necessarily mean sinna. If a person has an acquaintance that he goes 3 days not speaking to them, purposely, but 3 days not speaking to them, that's called sinna. You don't have to hate the guy if you're just not being in the mood of the guy and not talking to him, that is purposely, that goes to be a form of sinna. But the point is, the way Reis Avshin elaborates, he says, this is a sinna that was rooted by the less knowledgeable people, the amaratzim, or the people that didn't want to give in to the powers of the chamim. They didn't want to give in to the belief of the chamim's edicts, or the chamim's hashkafas, and therefore they created a baseless hatred, because in order to avoid listening to Chamim, they created a hatred towards the Chamim. Again, it could be any hatred, but that's where Reis Avshin explains that was the development of the hatred in those days in the second bias. That's what's referred to. Sinas Chinam caused the base mission to be destroyed. Lam Tashkul Sinas Chinam, Kenegash Shavesh, Avezar Arise Fichazamim. If the first base mission only came down with the big Chamuras, and the second one came down with Sinas Chinam alone, it must be Sinas Chinam is equivalent to Shvichas Damim, Gilarias, and Avodah Zarah. Again, similar question. We're saying over here it was Sinas Chinam. Yet we have the Gemara Bava Metzia that says the reason why that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed is because they were Hamidu Devarim al Dintaira, meaning they didn't do the Fumish Meshus Adin. Instead of going a little beyond the letter of the law and being lenient with each other, they were very makbid, particularly monetary dealings, they were very makbid with each other onto the Ikr Din, and because they're so makbid, therefore the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. First of all, it sounds very, very, very extreme, but the Maaseh says, no, it doesn't sound like Sinas Chinam. You could say Sinas Chinam caused them to be makbid, and because they're makbid, that was a punishment. You could connect it to a very simple, obvious connection, or you could say, similar to what we said in the last question, that Enechanami Sinas Chinam was the main cause. However, the merit of going to the Fim Bishus Adin, again, which is really steer it to baseless hatred, it's the opposite, it's like baseless love, but going to the Fim Bishus Adin, that merit would have been strong enough to save the Beis Hamikdash from being destroyed. So it's not really the reason, it's the reason why it was destroyed, and it wasn't saved just because they didn't have their protection of having the Fim Bishus Adin. That's why it was destroyed, but the main reason would still be Sinas Chinam, according to Smalach. Okay, says the Gemara, Rishayim Ayu El Shtel B'tchayim B'kash Baruch Hu. They're Rishayim, but they put the betachin in Hakash Baruch. What's this going on? Aslam Mikdash Rishon. That goes back to Mikdash Rishon. Tichsev Reisha B'sheicha Yishtu V'kanam Mecher Yeru Neviya B'kasev Yiksayimu. So you see the common denominator between the leaders, the heads that judged for bribes, the kahanim, which were like the pleiskim, they gave psak for a fee, and the neviim gave their nevius again for kesem. Everything was being done bribed for money. But they still rely on Hakash Baruch Hu. They say, Hashem's amongst us. Nothing bad can happen. Hashem's amongst us. So very clear that even though they're Rishayim, they still put their betach on Hakash Baruch Hu, which is actually a problematic. Says the Gemara, it's even worse. Lefika chevelim Hakash Baruch Hu shalosh gezeres tiv Hakash Baruch Hu put on them three gezeres. Lefika meaning because of what? So this machlekes haralim. This Barsham himself being stupshatim. Either means because of these three things we just discussed. Because of these three, the kings, the judges, the neviim, and the kahanim, which were like the chachamim, because they were taking money for it they shouldn't have been. Therefore, the following three gezeres applied. That's one malach, or going back to what we said before, gila raish shvichas damim, and avodah zarah, because the big three aveiros. Remember, talking about bias vision over here still. So because the big three aveiros, therefore they got the following three punishments. Either way, it's three and three. What are the three punishments? The fikra avilei mekash baruch hu shalosh gezeres kenegi shalosh aveiros b'shabiyadam, corresponding three aveiros they had in their hands. Shneimar lechem gachem tzion tzad tekrach, the field of tzion was plowed over. So tzion was plowed over like a field, I should say. V'yushlayim ayin tia, and Yushlayim will become ruins. Harbayis labamis yar, and Harbayis will become like a forest. So those three things happen in retribution, either for Shvichas Damim Gilarayis and Avodah Zarah of the people of the time, or because of the three different types of people that take money for the Shernadav. With Mikdash Rishon, I have a Sinas Chinam. Ask Gemara, was there no Sinas Chinam by Mikdash Rishon? Ay, Fachsiv, Meguri Al Cherev, Hayu, as Ami Lachain Sveik El Yarech. It says over there, the Pesukim discuss that there were fears of the sword were amongst the people, and therefore they were going to hit in the thigh from Blazer. These are people that eat together as if they're friends. They eat together as if they're friends. They make beliefs. It's not Echab Bev, Echab Belev. They eat together as if they have these great, and then the second they leave, they turn their backs and talk negative at each other. They talk terrible about each other. They shoot spears. They stab each other in the back with their words. So you see this took them out. In the first bias, there was Siddhis Chiyamet too. Says Mar, he was Nisi Yisrael Avi. That was specifically on the Siyam, similar to what the various Avshah was saying already, about there's a certain easier jump to sinna to leaders for some reason is that because leaders bring responsibility, and therefore in order to avoid responsibility it's easy to hate on the leaders. So that was talking about by the Nasim Dechsev Zok Vilo Ben Adam Kihiyai Sabami Vitaim Murit the Bryce. What does that mean? Zok Vilo Ben Adam Yachala Kol, his cry out and wail, the son of everyone. You would think it means wail for everyone, meaning the idea of Sinas Chinam was relevant to everyone. Tam Alaymer He Bechol Nasi Yisrael. No, the Sinas Chinam was found specifically amongst the Nasi Yisrael. So it was existing amongst the leaders of Gaius. So actually, I shouldn't say, I was saying before, they hated the leaders. It sounds like in general, it was existing amongst the leaders, the hatred, this Sinas Chinam, but it was amongst Gaius at large. So by Yisrael, had a little bit of Sinas Chinam, but not the whole Gaius. By Yisrael, there was much more Sinas Chinam. That's why it was a strip of Sinas Chinam. A couple more lines. Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shavai, Rabbi Lazar, both say the difference between the first and second bias. The first generation of the Beis Rishon, where the Aveir was clear, Shvichas Dam Gila Rais, the Vaidazar was clear, therefore the Kates, it was only 7 years, it was a shorter Kates of the Gauls, and it was revealed when the Kates was. Achorinim, we're still in this next, the second Beis Mishnah's destruction, we're still in that Gaulus. Achorinim Shana Skala Vainim, where the Chate wasn't clear, Lena Skala Kitzim. The Chate wasn't clear, and neither was the end. The end wasn't revealed either. Amar Bechanan, Tevitz Parnashah, Rishayim, Rechrisisha, Achorinim, the finger of the early generations, more Chashav than the toes than the stomachs, I should say, of the later generations. Amar Ishlakish, Amle Ishlakish, Adarabba, Acher Madifi. The later ones are greater. Why? Avgav Dekashib Malchus, Kasuk B'Tayra. Even though we're under Shib Malchus in this Golus, but we still get to learn Tayra. Doesn't that make it that today must be better? Amalei, that the second struggle is better. Amalei, Biritechiach. Let the bias itself demonstrate. Shechaz Roshayim Velechaz Velechreinim. Lomais, the bias has destroyed for the first ones did come back. The bias has destroyed for the second ones didn't come back. It must be that the Dais Roshayim were greater. Shalos or Blazer. Roshayim Gedel Machreinim Gedel. The Taka asked for Blazer. Similar conversation. Who is greater? First generation, second generation, first base Mitzvah, or second base Mitzvah? Amalem, Tunechem Bira. He said, look at the Bira. The first Bira was destroyed, but it came back. Second Bira didn't come back. So isn't that clear that the first Bira is on a stronger Madrega? Ikadarmi, some say Amalem, your aid is by the Bira, which is again sounds like it's just a different nusach for the same idea. Others want to explain, no, it's more than that. When the first bias was destroyed, they only destroyed like the roof, the walls, and everything else was still intact. They destroyed the roof and some of the stuff inside, but they didn't destroy the actual building. Second bias, they destroyed more of the building. More of the building was burnt. So look at the aidas, look at the binyan, and you'll be able to see exactly the first bias was more chashav and had less destruction than the second bias. We'll pause over. Leave, you know, and there's a little more still. We'll leave. I got that actually continues into tomorrow's af. We'll leave after tomorrow. Just one quick point. What's the idea that when it's a skala avinim, when the aveir was clear, then the kates was clear, and when the oven wasn't clear, the kates isn't clear. So the Marsha explains that there's a maila. We know by a ganav and a gazla, who's worse? The ganav's worse because the ganav is scared of Hashem, scared of people. He steals at night, not scared of Hashem. Whereas the Gazlan is not scared of anybody. Yeah, he's not scared of Hashem. He's not scared of people. He goes in the middle of broad daylight and he steals. So the Ganav's worse. The Ganav has to pay kefas, pay double. So to hear, those who were the chet was a skala, so they weren't hiding the chet from the Adam. The attacker weren't hiding from Hashem. We know to do a chet rabim is like a bad thing. It's considered a special azas. But the point is, there was no extra fear of mankind over Hashem. And therefore, they did it. That's an episode of Madrega. And therefore, the Kates, the ultimate redemption was revealed to them. It was only 70 years later. Whereas, those that hide, so they make the look to other people like the tzaddikim, and in private they're Rishon, that's the worst, that's a terrible mix. They're afraid of people, not afraid of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a terrible mix. For them, the case was the Skala, that's the Marsha. The Rebbe said this, Fasem say a different Maila, at the Maila being a Skala, having that Vera being a Skala, and a Chami, it's a big merida to have Vera in public, but there's one Maila. When a Vera is being done in public, there's no denying it. There's no need to go search and seek up where we need fixing, right? Of course, you know, the 12-step programs, right? The first step is, recognizing that there's an issue that has to be fixed. If you don't recognize the issue that has to be fixed, then nothing's going to get fixed. So those who did the Averis Begiloi, at least there was a clear recognition of the Averis that need to be fixed. When it was done by Sasser, again, they were machzik as if they were holy, even though they weren't. So it was a fake what the Purana showed. And therefore, if you not recognize the need to fix something, nothing's going to get fixed. That was the Maila of the first bias over the second bias. So pick it up from Reish Lakish's Memra tomorrow.